Hello, I'm Kaveen from the Shadow Thieves Gallows Bird Persistent World.
Hello, I am the Nightingale from the Shadow Thieves Gallows Bird Persistent World.
Hello, I'm Merlin Lamb from the Shadow Thieves Gallows Bird Persistent World, and you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
This is so exciting! Wow! Where to begin?
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hi, I'm Michelle, a.k.a. Liso.
And hey, I'm Trey, a.k.a. Eshercon Zelo.
Get down with your bad self.
And I'm Skunk Keen, a.k.a. Mark.
Hey, and also, hey, you used your real name.
Yes, no, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
How do you know that's my real name?
Unless you're a liar.
I am.
He is.
And who else is here with us?
Hey, we also have Roannon from the esteemed MMORG Realm of Anacolia.
Persistent World.
I was being funny.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Roannon, a.k.a. Broadened Horizons.
Welcome, Ro, to the show.
Thank you, Trey.
So Roanne's going to sit in with us and let some of our NWN podcast rub off on him.
Poor guy. He'll never be the same.
So, hey, this is episode 92.
Of the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only Neverwinter Nights podcast devoted to everything related to the Neverwinter Nights game series.
Mask of the Betrayer 2.
Storm is here.
And soon to be, Mysteries of Westgate.
Yay!
Speaking of the Mysteries of Westgate, that'll probably be out pretty soon, but we're not sure when.
The only thing I've heard so far is by the end of the month.
That would be cool.
I've been wanting to ask Atari people if there's been, like, folks outside the offices with, like, pitchforks and torches, you know, yelling for the Frankenstein monster.
The Frankenstein?
Yeah.
What's a Frankenstein?
Frankenstein.
Oh. Hey, Roannon, so what's going over on the Anacolia Persistent World?
Well, we've got our 5th annual Anacolia Festival coming up in March, the 6th through 7th and 8th. It's going to be a whole weekend of just a bunch of games.
Cool. So tell us more about that. Is that like you vie for the Queen's Champion or something like that?
The Queen's Champion is just one contest. That's going to be that's in fact, let me pull up the schedule.
Can I come watch?
She wants to go watch the event.
Yep.
Can I go watch the event and not participate? Just, you know, like be a voyeur?
Yeah, cool. Yeah, you can do that. I did that at the jousting event that they had. I set up in the stands.
We're going to have another one of those, too. We're
Do they have stands?
Skunk was in the stands, too, on that one. Remember that?
Sweet.
I was giving away prizes.
Oh, yeah, that was during the NWN Con.
That's right. We've got a croquet tournament on Friday, as well as a Golem Wars, which is a takeoff of Robot Wars. We have a Golem Maker prestige class where the gnomes can build golems and then use them to battle each other to pieces.
So that's just like in Mask of the Betrayer.
Yeah.
In the
the Academy.
There's actually in the Academy rope when you're playing NWN2 Mask of the Betrayer.
Really?
You build some golems and you fight them to win money.
Cool.
I beat the champion one.
Sweet. Saturday, we're going to have the Queen's Champion Tournament. We're going to have a archery competition, which is open to any ranged weaponry, actually. We actually had somebody in the final last year who was using a sling. We will have a special happy hour at the Feisty Chicken on Saturday night as well. Sunday...
I've been to one of those before.
Feisty Chicken.
Feisty Chicken. Sunday, we're going to have a bardic competition. Last year's competition was won by a young halfling bard who was telling a story that the world is a pie. won. Plus, there will be ongoing street fairs and jugglers and merchants set up to, you know, sell stuff. You can throw tomatoes at the statue of the king who's usurped the throne. All kinds of fun.
So that's happening March 6th through the 8th.
Right, on Realms of Anacolia.
2009 in the year of our Lord.
Yeah.
You know what, Rowannon? I'm going to install Neverwinter Nights 1 just to come watch.
Sweet. Outstanding.
I like it. It's a nice place there.
There is also going to be a jousting tournament and a horse race.
Is it going to be like the jousting from the premium module for Neverwinter Nights 1? Oh, what was it?
Did you actually get on a horse and...
Yeah, Cormier or something like that.
Yeah, Reverend Brown of Cormier.
Yeah, something like that. They had jousting. I did jousting. That was pretty nifty.
That's as far as I've gotten in that module.
I finished it.
I finished it. I'm going to get you a shirt that says, I finished it 8 times.
Sweet.
Yeah,
then
I used to
have to explain what I finished.
We're up to
that'll
eight
be
time.
Fun. Yeah.
I used to join every Bardic competition out there. That whenever I saw news about it, and I would always get the biggest reactions out of the players, but I would never win. Ever. Never won. I always got big reactions, but never won.
Yeah, I have a question.
Yeah.
When you buy a game and you're actually getting into it, how can you not finish it? And I, you know what? I want comments on this when we air the show. I hope people comment on this. How can you buy a game, start it, know that you like it, but never finish it?
Real life gets in the way.
Oh, I can't do real life. It gets put on the back burner until I'm done. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Not everybody can do that.
You know, Michelle,
I'm just kidding.
Oh. I thought you were asking a serious question.
It is a serious question. I really want to know how people can just drop a game and never finish it.
I have that problem.
I remember when I was playing Doom 2, I got to the very end, and I couldn't defeat the big boss, and so I didn't finish it. I tried for 2 or 3 days, and then I quit. I gave up. So sometimes that'll happen to me.
Yeah, but it also took you over 2 years to finish the OC.
I know.
I never finished the OC.
I also play 3 or 4 games at once.
Mm-hmm.
Like at the time I was playing for the OC, I also had an Xbox, and I was playing Halo and Halo 2, as well as on Xbox Live with my gaming clan. We were also playing Unreal Tournament 2004 and Battlefield 2 and Battlefield 2142. So I was playing a lot of things at once, so that's why it took me so long.
I'm really starting to think I have some obsessive disorder.
But
ADHD.
I agree with you. I wish I could play one game all the way through, stop, and then go to the next game. But
yeah, same.
Which
here.
I used to be able to do, but that's becoming increasingly.
Skunk, did you just accuse me of having ADHD?
No, I said it's like ADHD. You know, I have the same problem too, and more so with Neverwinter Nights because. Every time I hear about a new Wicked adventure, I go ahead and download it, and I play it quite a bit, and then I start talking to people, and then everybody tells me about a different adventure that's released or a different game world online.
You know, he's pointing his finger at me.
And now, recently, though, I play Mask of the Betrayer on occasion. I also play on three different persistent worlds. I now have a Wii, so I've been playing Tomb Raider. And I'm doing this freaking podcast. Takes up a lot of time too.
Oh, totally off the topic of Neverwinter Nights, the community.
Well, hold on, wait before you go on. Ro, what about you?
What about me, what?
What's your answer to that question?
He's an Anacolia devotee.
Well, pretty much.
He has like 30 PCs on that thing.
23.
Oh, 23, sorry.
I actually took a group shot of all
22
my
and a half?
I actually have a group picture of all my PCs on that persistent world.
Hey, send us the picture. Okay. That'd be cool.
He did come. Roannan did come out and join us last weekend to play an event of mine.
Yep.
So, yeah.
He's
pretty open.
But as far as not finishing a game, so far the only game I've got that I haven't finished is the OC for Neverwinter Nights 2. I take that back. I never finished the OC for Neverwinter Nights either.
No, I finished that. I finished the OC for NWN 1.
The OCs for 1 and 2 were great. I haven't played all the premium modules.
The only one I liked in Neverwinter Nights 1 was Hordes of the Underdark.
And I'm about halfway through. I got halfway through that and haven't finished it. Wait. No, is it Hordes of the Underdark? Or what was the other one?
Shadow of the Undrentide?
I'm sorry, Shadow. I've got...
Shadows of Undrentide.
Is that the one where you go through a desert?
Yes. I hated that one, too.
Yeah.
I didn't really
But I did finish it.
I'm just past the desert. And I haven't played that in 2 years.
I didn't care for Kingmaker, Witch's Wake, and...
Kingmaker was really easy.
Shadow Guard.
I haven't played those
Shadow
yet.
Guard.
My plan is to play those.
Well, I bet somebody would...
When I'm 63, I'll be playing Crown of Cormier.
check out Pirates of the Sword Coast, Infinite Dungeons, and Raven Crown of Cormier.
I want to play Darkness Over Dragonborn, too.
I found Infinite Dungeons to be kind of boring. The Kingmaker was way too easy. I mean, the simplicity of it, it was boring. It had a nifty story going on, but the actual action was just boring.
So if there's any original BioWare programmers listening, please don't cry.
Speaking of BioWare, and this has nothing to do with Neverwinter Nights 2 or 1. However, I am a Mass Effect groupie, and they just released the teaser trailer for Mass Effect 2.
Ooh, I almost bought that at Walmart today, but they didn't have it.
Why didn't you get Mass Effect?
They didn't have it.
Get it on Steam. It's on sale.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm going to do.
What's the DRM with that like?
I'm also playing Half-Life 2. Sorry. I interrupt you, Scott. DRM what?
You have to have online activity to be able to play that game, right?
No.
What?
Mass Effect.
No.
No?
I got it on digital download.
What do you mean by online activity?
I didn't have to do that.
What do you mean by online activity?
He means to have it authenticated.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, there's quite a trend in EA games doing that.
Evil EA.
Nice.
I will be incredibly surprised, Trey, if you do get Mass Effect and you don't finish it.
Oh, well. Actually, my buddy that I game with and go geocaching with, he bought Mass Effect for his new Xbox 360 that he bought the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Turd.
I have it on PC.
I'm looking at reinstalling Oblivion, playing through that.
Oh, he just played through that on the 360 as well.
Yeah, I can't get into Oblivion. The mechanics of it, the controls are horrible.
What platform were you playing on, Michelle?
Well, I can't play first person because it gives me migraines. So I tried to use their overhead, and right. It is just a nightmare.
Yeah, no, it's horrible. See, I
managed to get myself out of that prison cell that I was in to start the game out.
You just follow the guards that come through with the Emperor. What's how hard is that?
I kept running into the walls because the controls were so bad.
Well, I started out on first-person shooter games, so when I switched to Neverwinter Nights, that was tough on me.
They give me migraines for some reason. However, when I played Fallout 3, I didn't have a problem with the first person. I went into first person for shooting and investigating and stuff because you get a better close-up. Just running around, I did the overhead or behind the shoulder. But I did do first person Fallout 3, and it didn't bother me.
I'm curious. I wonder how many people play NWN over the shoulder versus God mode, God from above.
I play it over the shoulder.
Same here.
I do it top down, actually.
I do. I switch between the two.
Yeah, I'd switch them variety sometimes.
I use the ASWD keys to move, and I use my left-right up-down keys to maneuver the camera around as I'm going.
Oh, that reminds me of something I wanted to mention.
Constantly moving the camera.
I know what he's going to talk about.
What am I going to say? Say to play?
Huh?
Say to play?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the WASD keys and the bug in Mask Betrayer.
Well, I can talk about that, too. Or maybe not.
Have you installed that,
What?
Have you installed that Say to Play yet, Trey?
Not yet, but I think I want to. What we're talking about is if you go to say2play.com, it's some software that you can, I think you can try it out for 15 days or something like that. But if you buy it, you can actually attach keys to voice commands. So if you attached your W key to walk forward, when you said walk forward, your character would walk forward.
Niftiness.
Or, you know, if you assigned your inventory key, I, to inventory, and then you could play, you can play just about any game you want. And they have templates for about hundreds of games already that I think come with it. I did not see Neverwinter Nights in there though, so no one's created a template for it yet.
But Carvon started up that topic,
I believe. Yeah, that's right.
Connections. And yep. I guess if he says that, you know, if he's recommending it, and most likely he's played it and suggesting it. I think I saw Lazy Bones, jesting on it, you know, like how some people could really geek out and shout out, lightning bolt, lightning bolt.
Yep.
You ever seen that? You ever seen that old, Rowan and seen the old video? You ever seen that, Trey? Yep. The old Garts. Lurps?
No.
No? You never seen it? All right.
No, sir.
There's this video where these people are
playing.
It's
not like the Green Door, is it?
No. Yeah. No, you haven't watched that movie yet that I suggested to you.
No, though. And I'm not going to.
You're not going to? Well, okay, all right. But there's this this video clip that shows these people playing LARPs. It's a live-action role-playing game, and there's some dude in a kilt throwing a... like rocks at some guy in a monster that's, you have to watch it sometime. I'll put it up on the vidcast someday.
Okay.
Give people,
what else do we have? There's the CEP, the Community Expansion Pack Updater for the Mac, Roannon.
Yes.
Is available.
There was a post that I saw basically saying the same thing, that Updater works. They're just waiting to. They're working on getting the launcher fixed or finalized, not fixed, but it's a secondary program that allows you to launch the actual updater. So it's just days away now.
Oh, cool! And in other news about the CEP, I was also chatting with Barry last night, Barry Ebersole, and he said that Shadow M just released his airship demo.
Mm-hmm.
It's his flying ship placeable. And,
very wicked.
Yeah, that he and I guess the CEP were working together to make that available in the CEP at a later time is the way I understood it.
Just one disappointing. I'd rather see sea ships first.
I was kind of thinking that too.
Because, I mean, you know, at sea ships, they're more used than the flying airships are.
Has anybody, surely someone's done sea ships already, haven't they?
And I haven't seen anything like that before. Where they
approach. I've seen them parked in the. I've seen ships parked in the docks or whatever, just about every place you play.
Adam Miller has where you can take ships out to sea and actually control them and go from land to land.
Yeah.
At Dark Waters too.
Yeah.
I got stuck there at that point. Did you ever get to use that part of the Dark Waters too?
Yeah.
I got stuck there. It wouldn't work for me.
I had a couple of issues where I would go into battle, and then my characters would end up standing out in the middle of the ocean. I couldn't get back on my ship, so I'd have to save and come back again. Bouncy Rock has a new blog page, and Donnie Ree has also released a head pack on the vault in the modeling section. It is three very distinctive male heads, one with scars, one a robust type of man. He kind of looks like Uncle Fester to me, but, and another one that would make like an awesome wizard, or he's got very piercing eyes and very distinctive facial features. And Johnny was going for, you know, some character rather than just the kind of basic smooth plastic doll faces. And there is a link right here for everybody to go look at them. They're doing quite well in the vault already.
Johnny Ree rocks, man. He's awesome.
I heard him talking about doing more heads with beards.
Yeah, he's already started the beards. He actually got it. If you go to our blog, the Bouncy Rock blog, our cat actually blew up his computer.
What?
He knocked it over and broke the power supply. And it's back up. He's got a new one now. But
what was it, like rubbing up against it or something?
No, he knocked it over. Our cat weighs 20 pounds. Click on the blog link. You will see on the very front the picture of our cat laying on top of his computer. It looks like passed out drunk or something. But he's huge.
Sure.
We need a mascot for the podcast. Does he want to be it?
I'm sure that our cat won't care because he's really lazy and just kind of lays around.
I thought Roannon was our mascot.
Oh,
we mentioned his name.
Yeah,
we
mentioned
Roannon.
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 But anyways, the head pack, they're very distinct. They're very characteristic. And they have the same poly count as the regular Neverwinter Nights 2 heads. He did a really good job.
How many poly counts?
Yeah. There's a video on YouTube that looks extremely professional. He did a wonderful job about the video and for displaying them. There is another head pack coming out of males, and then he's going to work on females.
I usually get around to commenting on all of Ree's YouTube videos, but I watched it, and it looked really good. You're right. It's really awesome. I didn't comment.
Well, what did he build these for? Just to build
for the community.
For everybody. That's, yeah.
Wow, I thought maybe
we need more people.
Well,
like
wait
that.
Till the Misery Stone comes out. You're going to be seeing some serious custom content, but it won't get released until the Misery Stone does.
We need more heads that are good for halflings.
Halflings?
Halflings. That's
yeah.
That's just my request.
I think the half elves need better. They're so ugly. That's my favorite race to play. They are so horribly ugly.
When people end up contributing stuff to the community like this, this is where I can't really relate with the rest of you too much about other games, because I'm so enthralled in Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 when people keep on continually releasing new adventures and opening up new game worlds and releasing new content. Just there's, you know, these other games out there just don't really compare to Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 to me. But
he's still working on the Driders. They're still a work in progress. It's the animations that...
Skunk, is somebody paying you?
Yeah,
I wish. I wish. I wish.
I'm just messing with you.
It's okay, Skunk. I'm just as bad about it.
Yeah.
Is that a good ride, Trey?
Yeah, baby.
Since we had no episode last week, I've been downloading and listening to old episodes that I hadn't heard before. And I happened to listen to episodes 15 and 16 today.
Yeah?
Well, which one were those?
Johnny Ree and...
15 and 16 were the first two that didn't have Jay on them. 16 was Michelle's first guest co-host.
Yeah.
Which had her laugh about, I don't know, 20 times at the end.
Oh, God. You know what? They were texting me. They were messaging me stupid stuff to make me laugh.
That was great.
And now it don't phase her no more.
Do you have the episodes memorized, Michelle? Because you, like, immediately.
I have that one of those freaky memories. I can't help it.
That's weird.
And my first show was not 16. It was 17. 16 was Johnny Ree's interview.
Okay, then 16 and 17. See, she got a better memory than I do. I just listened to them today for crying out loud.
I do. I have a creepy memory like that. I can't help it.
All right. That's quite a bit of news we had there, boys and girls.
Yeah, I was going to say, you better not forget me.
We had quite a lot this week since we had to skip a week last week. So now we present you with, we have welcomed back to the show Kaveen from the Persistent World in Gallowsburg over at the Shadow Thieves Guild. And he brought with him one of his DMs, Nightingale, and one of his premier players, Merlin Land. And we sat back and revisited with them about their world and what's going on over there. So sit back and take a listen. Okay, hello everyone out there. Today we have back on the show Master Kaveen, and joining him, Nightingale and Merlin Land from the Shadow Thieves Gallowsburg Persistent World. And we've had Kaveen on the show before, so this will be a good time to do some catch-up and see how things are going over there on the Gallowsburg. So welcome to the show, Kaveen.
Thanks, Astrakhan. It's awesome to be back with you. Got a couple guys here from our Gallowsburg Persistent World to share some more about our world and what's been going on. We got Merlin Land. He's mostly a player and a builder and definitely a leader within our group. And we have Nightingale, a.k.a. David, who is one of our awesome DMs and really helps lead our world to success. So you guys want to say hi?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Merlin Land. I'm a player. We've been doing a few things on Gallows Bird. We've been introducing a few new concepts, such as player-led questing and campaigns. Been doing some more long storyline.
Now, you used to do the FFRG Reviewers Guild a long time ago as well, too, didn't you?
Yeah, I used to be involved with the FFRG, the Fan Fiction Reviewers Guild, and AIM when it was first set up, but because of ill health, I had to come out of it. I was also a reviewer for the Vault, the Neverwinter Nights Vault.
So we also have Nightingale, a.k.a. David, with us.
Hi there. Well, where to start? I've been playing on Gallows Bird now for maybe 3 or 4 years. I've sort of worked my way up through as a player moderator, a role which is being reviewed at the moment, as part of our rationalization process and try and bring everything together in Gallows Bird. And last year, well, just over a year ago now, I guess, I was made up to an assistant DM to try and help and contribute as much as possible to the Gallowsburg Persistent World.
So, guys, what's been going on at the Gallowsburg since we last talked? I know it's been a while.
There's been a number of storylines following involving different groups of characters, including a small war even.
Oh wow!
We've got a number of new players, which is absolutely fantastic. They've fitted into Gallowsburg seamlessly, which is absolutely magnificent. A few of us are working to develop the world by improving existing areas and creating new areas. Merlin's been an absolute star with that. Like all cities, Manorus and the surrounding areas are constantly in a state of change and flux. So, special mention here. We would really have to go to Sliver, one of the other DMs, Merlin, of course, Celia, and Coyote. And Ray Drakewind's jewellery shop has a number of rather useful trinkets there as well. So keep on building, guys, because Gallowsburg is getting better and better.
You know, a lot of things have, you know, kind of developed over the last years. I know Merlin's going to want to talk about a little bit of his wiki, and we're also, basically trying to bring all the lore of Gallowsburg into the wiki and kind of have a summary of that. And then we have a couple new campaigns that DMs are running that are really cool. We've got DM Vox, who's running a campaign called The Wasteland Valkyrie. It's really cool. It's a survival campaign. It's basically a group of players, and it's actually a couple times per week, a couple different groups who their caravan actually crashed out in the mountains, and so they're trying to survive. So basically they're using their wits and anything that they can find to try and survive out in the bitter cold in the wasteland. So really, really cool campaign. It's not like your typical Dungeons and Dragons. It's kind of a, I think she calls it, like a MacGyver type of a campaign, and some of the players are really, really, really loving that.
One of the things about the way Vox is running it is that even if you're not actually part of the campaign, you can still be included. And that's one of the beautiful things about the way that she's running it. Because what you can do if you want to take part, what you can do is you just need to turn up on the evening of the campaign and she'll make you invisible so that you can be around in the background helping to make things happen, get involved, and even sort of make suggestions as the campaign is progressing. So there is a possibility to take part even if you're not one of the players involved with the campaign, which is absolutely fantastic.
Is that on a regular scheduled night of the week, or is it flexible?
Yes, there's a Thursday group and a Sunday group, as far as I remember.
Cool, that sounds interesting.
Is it a Saturday?
Is it a Saturday?
Saturday, yeah.
Saturday. There you go.
I think it's Thursday and Saturday evening in United States time, so it'd be really late evening for UK time.
Yeah.
So real quick, before we maybe get into what the wiki's about, why don't, for those of the people listening that don't know, give us a little bit of background history on Gallowsburg.
Well, Gallowsburg, kind of in short, is it's a very urban world. Kind of, it's centered around a city called Manorus. It's a very large city with a lot of intrigue and mystery, and then an entire continent surrounding that with other villages and a lot of other areas to explore, like forests and jungles. So it's a very large world, but players tend to really gravitate together, and they're usually playing together. The history of the story is that much of the magic is missing in this world, and there are some things I'm not going to reveal as far as why, but so it's a very low magic world. You're not going to see dragons running around. You're not going to see flaming swords and a lot of the magic you see in a lot of other worlds. So it's a lower magic setting. It's kind of it's very atmospheric.
So are y'all doing anything now to draw in more players? I've noticed there's been quite a bit of action on your forums. It's been a while since I've actually played in your world, but I do occasionally stop by and check out your forums, and I've noticed y'all have been trying to do lots of things to bring in new people.
Yeah, there's a couple things that we're doing that are really cool, even new that I really haven't seen in a lot of other worlds. And I'll let Nightingale and Merlin talk more about those. But one is the player quest rewards, we call it, or the player quests and campaign system, where any player, anybody, whoever they are, can come in and run an event or create a quest or make something fun, that players can do. And if you just set up an event and people show up for the event, whatever it is, you'll get a player quest token. And then you can save these tokens up and buy certain things that you otherwise can't get in the world, like magic items or gold or experience points. So it's really cool, and it's been a huge success. Not just to, for players to get rewards, but for everyone else who participates in those events. So one example of that could be, you could post that you want to go have a monster hunt, and I think we've, had a bunch of those. So a bunch of players will come together at the same time, and they'll go out and hunt the monsters. And, they'll make it into a quest, and they'll have a lot of fun and a lot of role play together.
Monster quest.
And then, yeah, yeah. So it's like, it's like a whole campaign. It didn't require a DM. It didn't require a lot of planning, but just people showed up and did it. So a lot of players are having a lot of fun with that. It really increased activity in the server, and you get a token for doing it. So it's really cool.
I said that, there's the Discovery Channel Monster Quest show. Sorry.
Well, Well, if you want to have a monster quest, come in and have a monster quest for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
You could do a Ghost Hunters International.
Well, I think Merlin had better talk about the Ghost Hunters.
Or vampires.
Or those.
So, Merlin, that's a good segue. Why don't you tell us about this new Galesburg Wiki that you're, I guess, is that your baby or you're helping create?
I'm helping create it, yeah. It's the Athelander Wiki on wikia.com, if you're familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite recent, started on 13th of December, just last year. But we've already got 105 articles describing the areas and the people and characters that you can see in on Gallows Bird. There's world history, so you can get information, help you develop a background, which is important. Tales from Athelander, like books, stories, poetry that people have written about it.
So anybody can get on here and add articles and...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
There's an event list as well, so if you want to know what's happening, like the player quests or game events, what's coming up, you can look at that and arrange your time for the come on.
Oh, yeah, cool. I'm looking at that right now. Social events, regular venturing groups. Nightingale, were you telling me that you can also get on here and, like, write up a bio of your characters that you play on the world?
Absolutely. It was actually Weslan who put one of his characters up there, Rudo, and that sort of inspired me to do a little bit of writing about one of my first characters that I made, which, funnily enough, his name is Nightingale. I've put that there, and I would say to anybody else if they want to come and play on Gallows Bird, that would be absolutely fantastic. And you've got the option to put a character background onto the forums. That will be reviewed by the DMs, and you will get given small XP bonuses for a good write-up and a good character background. We'll also issue you with a character background certificate that has some small effect on the game mechanics. So, you know, if you've put the effort in, then you'll get a reward for it. And it does make maybe prices a little bit cheaper, or people will react slightly better to you if they know you. So if you've put your character background up on the forums, and I would like to extend that to the wiki section as well.
I think that's, you know, that's kind of going to something that's really cool, and some of the changes we've made in Galesburg to make it a lot more open to new players and even, you know, casual players, people who don't, you know, who don't necessarily want to play every day or play, you know, every week and play for tons and tons of hours just to build up their character story. You know, if you just wanted to play once a week for an hour or something like that, that's, you know, Galesburg is really set up to where you can do that and you can really thrive. And, you know, it starts with the world itself. It doesn't require a password. You don't, it doesn't require any kind of application. Anyone can join anytime they want. And the only hack that you need is the CEP hack. So try to make the world as easy to get into and as welcoming as possible. And you'll find that with all our players, they're very welcoming of new players, and you can have a lot of fun. And some of the things we've added over the last year, like the events and the player quest rewards, you know, the monster hunts, some merchant events, and one of the really cool things that the players are putting together is an underground fight club.
Oh, yes.
It's really cool. And you know, I'll let Merlin and Nightingale talk more about that, but it's called Bare Knuckles. And so, a bunch of the PCs will come together and they'll have a punching contest in a certain secret basement somewhere. And, anybody can join that. And, it's really cool.
Huh.
One of the fantastic things about that is that, we're starting it off so that all of the fist fighters are going to be starting off at first level. So you don't need to feel that you need to be established on the Gallows Bird server to come and have a go at it. It's just an awful lot of fun.
Do you have to be a certain class to do that, or?
No. But obviously being a warrior class helps.
Or a monk.
Just purely from the, well, exactly, mine, the fighter that I've made is a monk. But as they're starting off at first level, it doesn't really make that much difference.
Oh, okay.
However, what we're looking at doing is, as the fight scene, as it were, progresses, we'll be adding perhaps more leagues higher up. And then hopefully the monk character will slowly develop into its own, but maybe not. We'll have to see, and it'll be a lot of fun finding out.
So when do those fight clubs happen?
They're not scheduled at the moment, but we're looking at setting up a league, hopefully as well as individual fight nights. So with the fight nights, it would be everybody coming together at a specific time and have an organized competition. Failing that, there's going to be a league, the exact details of which we're sort of hammering out at the moment.
One of the good things about the fight night is if you don't want to actually take part in fighting, you can role play as a sponsor or with other things, other aspects of it.
So I assume the gold flows. There's a lot of betting.
Absolutely. There's facility for betting on the outcome of the fight. You can bribe somebody to get inside information on the fighters. I'm sure there will be a certain amount of cheating happening in amongst the rogues. But there you go. That's all part of it.
That's interesting. That sounds like fun.
I think we're hoping that will probably begin within the next couple of weeks, I would think. Probably, maybe even by the time this interview airs. So,
okay.
You know, people can join into that. And one of the really cool things is some of the sponsors and some of the betting, I can see that, you know, taking on a whole mind of its own in a role-playing aspect that, you know, people could probably create cartels of, you know, who can sponsor different people and who sponsors the best fighters, and then, I don't know, maybe some fights could get fixed. Who knows what would happen?
There's a certain amount of prestige, I think, to being a sponsor of a fighter. I know McCavity is sponsoring at least one of the fighters, and he's one of the current gang bosses. And I think Jarek, who's a lieutenant in another gang, is also looking at sponsoring fighters. So I think the rivalry might actually go into the ring as opposed to being two gangs fighting directly against each other. I think, and I'm rather hoping that the competition between the gangs will sort of centralise on this fight scene. So it'll be a question of prestige and face, which I'm looking forward to. Mm-hmm.
So you said it takes place in a secret place usually. Is there a reason why it has to be secret? Is there a faction that is trying to shut you down or something? Is that what the deal is?
I think the gambling is against the city law officially, which is why there's two gambling dens in the city in different locations, and they're fairly secretive. They're not generally open. One of them's located in a den of thieves, and the other's locked away in an inn somewhere.
So, Kaveen, I know back when we held three or four events that, if I'm not mistaken, were world-changing. Were there actually changes made to the world since those events?
There was sort of a cumulative series of changes that are going to come into the world all at once and be seen in various areas. Some of it's already been seen, and some of it's in the late stages of building, such as... all the farmlands surrounding the city are sort of under siege by the humanoid armies that you were fighting.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the damage that happened to the city is going to be permanent. And one big thing that's happening that was part of that event was, you may recall one of the sessions, a group of clerics and mages were sort of in a circle chanting, and you know the storms were happening and things.
Right.
And what they were doing was casting a huge earthquake spell, right. And that basically sunk a half mile stretch of coastline to the west of the city. So when that comes in, which shouldn't be too long, there's going to be a lot of areas that are just going to be missing from what they were.
Are you still working on any NWN2 versions of Galesburg?
Our team of Galesburg 2 developers ran into the same kind of problem I think a lot of other persistent worlds did, that kind of just realizing the scope of the work and the time that it takes in the Neverwinter Nights 2 toolset to get worlds together. So we have a nice series of world of areas and a good baseline of the world created, but it's been a pretty slow going over the last year as far as development of new areas and new content for that. So so I would say, you know, we're sort of at a slow lag, and I think over time some of the improvements that Obsidian's been making in patches, and particularly to the multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
Like the patch 1.2.3 you talked about with Grinning Pool.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah, the latest I heard on that was that as soon as 1.2.2 comes out, that 1.2.3 will follow it pretty quickly, which will include the auto downloader.
Yeah, that auto downloader is absolutely going to be critical to reinvigorating the multiplayer and community, because, you know, players don't want to spend just to check out a world. They don't want to download hundreds of megabytes of files. So that's going to do it automatically for them, so they don't have to search for them. So I think that, coupled with, you know, over time people are getting better computers and better graphics cards, and more people are going to be able to play in Neverwinter Nights 2 for multiplayer. So I think that's something that's coming, and the chances for it to really be successful are getting better and better over time.
Speaking of auto downloaders, did y'all know that Akros over on the CEP team, I think he wrote a downloader for NWN1, or actually they wrote it for the CEP itself. Did y'all know that?
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. I actually used it twice now, so that might be something y'all might want to check out for NWN1. So are you guys looking for any help as far as maintaining the world or any builders or scripters or anything? And if so, how would interested parties contact you?
I think most persistent worlds are always going to say, yeah, we're always looking for DMs and players and builders and scripters. I would say, you know, we really need help to continue to develop the world. And, if there's anybody out there who has thought about building a module or started to build a module and found that it was a lot more work maybe than they, initially thought it would be. You know, I think joining a team, like the Galesburg team, to do a small part of a huge, larger project that a lot of other people are working on, you can get so much more success in a large team, because you can focus on the aspects of that you really like to do. So whether that's building an area or building a scripting system or a quest, mm-hmm. I think joining a team is really the way to go, and really the best way to get your content seen by a lot of people and enjoyed by a lot of people. So, but we need to continue to improve and continue to develop new and exciting areas and quests. And so we're really looking for people to come help us. If you if you've ever had an idea or had a quest that you really wanted to do, or an area you really wanted to build, we would really welcome you to come check out our world and come help us and come join our team. The one way you can do that is going to www.shadowthieves.net or www.shadowthieves.net/forum, F-O-R-U-M. And just check us out and get in contact with us.
Cool. And we'll also put that in the show notes.
I think one of the really cool things that we're developing right now, and Merlin is heading this up, is developing an Underdark for the Drow underneath the city of Manorith and underneath the entire continent.
Oh,
and
wow.
I think it's a really ambitious project, and it's awesome that Merlin's doing that. And he's kind of heading that up, and we need more people to come, help build Underdark and to build the the lore that goes with that and the quests and everything. So if anybody really likes the Underdark, you know, come help us put that into the Gallowsburg world. I don't know, Merlin, did you want to say any more about that?
Yeah, the Underdark's a big area, but it's been cut off from the mainland, main Underdark area, so there's five lesser houses, drow houses, which are being promoted really quickly into becoming a major house. So there's a lot of fighting between them, but it's the timing of it is during the time of the separation, so that the priests have very little power, so they have to rely on magic for to do what they want to do. But we definitely need a few people for the help out, because it is a very ambitious plan.
The fantastic thing about building as part of a team, of course, is that you've got other people that you can bounce ideas off and get help with if you get stuck with something, and that's a critical part of it.
That's awesome.
One of the areas in the Underdark is going to be controlled by the Mind Flyers, the Illithids. So if you get caught up with them, you might be stuck having to massage the main brain, which will be very interesting. I'm trying to script that at the minute.
A couple other things that kind of have changed in the world that I forgot to mention a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
We have several areas that, you know, kind of when you're, if you're kind of bored with, you know, just the normal D&D gaming, we actually have some other options for having fun on the Gallowsburg server. One of the things that Merlin made recently was sort of an out of character type of a game room with sort of some other types of games that you might play, you know, even outside of Dungeons and Dragons. One of the things we've had in the server for a long time is an event or sort of a system called Zombie Wars. And basically what that is it needs a DM to just initiate it, but, you know, it's a lot of fun. Basically, everybody who joins that event either becomes a zombie or stays as a person. And there are some special areas that have placeables and other things that can help you as the players to stay alive. But then the zombies are running around trying to eat all the players. So it's like, you know, some players are zombies, some players are people. And if the zombies eat you or kill you, you become a zombie. You rise back up as a zombie, and then you continue to hunt all the players. So it's a really fun kind of game. And I think if you stay alive as players for a certain amount of time, I think you might win. I think that's how the players win, and the zombies win if they eat you all up. So it's a real fun game. And then one of the other games that we're adding in is, I think, sort of a chutes and ladders type of a game, and then also sort of a, I don't know if you call it a contest to kill as many monsters as you can. I don't know if, Merlin, you want to talk a little bit more about those?
Yeah, it's, I had played it on Gallows Bird, but it wasn't in a specific area. It was just using a standard area. It was called Northeast Southwest. I can't remember who devised it, but basically you've got four priests in the middle of the area trying to cast the spell, but there's monsters coming towards you, and you either can play together, you have to, you know, either band together or do it separately, and whoever priests die, you're kicked out of the game.
That was Vox that created that one.
It was so much fun, I decided to make an area specifically for it.
So it's kind of just sort of going to the theme, we're just trying to make as much fun things you can do. If you're kind of bored and you just want to do something, you know, you can jump on Gallowsburg and play one of these games, or do a traditional role-playing, or, dungeon delving, or whatever you want to do. But we want to, you know, have as much fun there that we can. One of the things I didn't mention that we did over the last year was cut the death penalty and the respawn penalty, you know, like the experience points you lose when you respawn from dying. We cut that in half, so, you know, players don't feel as much of a pinch from having died. But on the other hand, we increase the difficulty of the higher level monsters by about double. So the monsters are about twice as hard, but if you die, it's way less painful.
Oh, believe me, it can be painful.
It's still that's true. Even just dying, even if you don't lose anything, that still hits your ego anyway. So,
absolutely.
I remember dying a lot.
And then one final thing that that Nightingale mentioned, Celia, is that how you pronounce her name?
Yes, yes.
She's building a huge series of really high level gaming areas, because one of the things in Galesburg is that a lot of it is at lower levels, because a lot of your time is spent at lower levels. She's building a lot of things for, you know, once you're at the higher levels, you'll have something to a place to adventure, you'll have quests, and you'll have monsters that can really challenge you. So that's kind of helping to round out the entire Galesburg experience.
I think that's going to be aimed towards almost forcing high-level characters of different classes together, because they're going to need to cooperate and be multi-skilled in order to achieve the goal in that area, which I think is a fantastic idea. Because it'll really get the higher level characters there, you know, working together, which has got to be a good thing.
Okay, I'm going to kind of throw this question in, but how many different characters do you guys play?
That is the funniest question in the world. Nightingale, he's posting what is it, like once a week you've got 10 new characters you want me to delete from your because you've made too many.
Yeah, I've just recently had about 20 or 30 characters taken off. I've still kept the records of them though, so I can put them back together if I feel the need.
Yeah, I like writing character backgrounds, I must admit. I've got about 25 up here.
Wow. What about you, Kaveen?
I have a few that nobody knows are mine. So I won't even mention.
Oh, that's cool. We appreciate you guys coming back on the show. You know, you're always welcome on the show. So I appreciate y'all coming and taking time out of your weekend to spend some tales with us and tell us about your passion with this gaming community. And so before we head out, any last words y'all want to let the listening community know about?
Yes. I think that Gallows Bird is just a really friendly community. As a DM, I still play on the server as a player for several reasons, really. Firstly, because I love the server, and it avoids creative burnout, because if you're constantly DMing the whole time, then it becomes more of a job than something that you enjoy, and I really want to keep enjoying doing what I do. So what I do is I take time out and play as a player. The other thing that does is it keeps me engaged with the Gallows Bird world from a player's perspective, which is, you know, really important that I feel, because the socialization with the other characters helps me get to know them, so that when I pick up my DM side, when I pick up my DM, put on my DM hat, I can tailor events to the characters involved in order to create a more engaging and personal touch to the events that happen there.
I would just say, you know, if you haven't even tried online gaming before, I think you really should. And I think Galesburg is a place you can come try it out. And, you know, people aren't going to jump down your throat for not doing certain things the right way. You know, we'll even help you learn how to role play and, you know, how to play together. And, you'll have a really good time, and like we said before, that a lot of Galesburg is designed around making sure you have fun, just making a fun environment, a lot of things to do, and you know, you can just come to casually game, or you can come to you know, take a more active role in the team to build or to create, and really become something, be part of something that's a really long-term project and will stay a long-term project for years to come. And, you know, what you build and what you create today is setting the stage for hundreds and thousands of players that are going to try Galesburg and play in Galesburg for many years to come. So I think it's something, special that, you know, you listeners of the podcast are welcome to come join us.
Yeah, I think Galesburg gets a very good balance between roleplay and hack and slash. It does bring both of them to players.
Once again, thank you guys for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thanks, AsherCon. Glad to see the podcast a success.
Thanks a lot.
And we're back. That was an awesome interview.
So yeah, that was a cool interview. They talked about it. They're going to have a fight club that you have to go, you have to figure out where it's at, and then because it's kind of hush hush in the world, and fighting and betting is not actually allowed in Galesburg, but they do it underground, which sounds intriguing. And they're also going to have what they're going to call zombie wars.
Zombie wars.
Yeah, so that's cool. That sounded cool. And they've got a new campaign starting up in a new Dow Underdark area that I think Merlin Land is running. Some good stuff. So if y'all get a chance, go over there and check out Galesburg again.
How about we talk about the fact that we are working on gathering questions for episode 100?
100.
We've already started a list of questions. There's a place you can place them over at Bouncy Rock. Has anybody else posted?
Yeah, we've gotten quite a few.
Now, yeah.
I think we're up to over a dozen, which is good, but so keep them coming. I also went out and posted on all the major forums.
Every forum I go to has a post on it asking for questions there.
And nobody's answering them. It's like,
answers on Bouncy Rock, several.
Yeah, I know. Bouncy Rock's been the best. So thank you, Bouncy Rock. You guys rock.
Thank you.
And rock. They bounce.
We rock and we bounce. We bounce when we rock.
Ba-dunk-a-dunk. Robinson Workshop is still continuing to release more and more stuff. Amazing stuff. They just released recently The Cliffs and More. And it's currently on the front page of the Vault site. Hellfire and Baron sound like they could use an editor to submit these things for them. I saw them in IRC debating on who's going to submit it to the Vault. But they are always, always creating more new amazing stuff. And this one, they have a plethora of pictures for it, and they look beautiful. This would look.
What is a plethora?
It means like plenty.
Plethora.
Kind of like mesmerizing.
Plethora. That's one of my favorite words. It's so cool.
Speaking of persistent worlds, Chemo told me that they recently had a major update to his persistent world called Haven. And they updated a whole bunch of things. I didn't really get too much more details, but he told me it's worth checking out. And he's a wicked custom content creator as well. I hope to have him on the show.
Okay.
He ended up doing some custom chairs. He has a variety of things. He recently is working up a whole mess of animations for the game. And that's what Neverwinter Nights 2 badly needs throughout everywhere is more animations. And this is the fella that's taking the lead on doing that for the community.
So, Roanna, why don't you plug our Cafe Press store for us real quick, since you own merchandise from it?
Oh, yeah. My coffee mug is awesome. I use it at least once a week. And my barbecue apron has got a couple more stains on it, but I'm not going to take any more pictures. But there's a link on the website. Just go on over and buy stuff and support the podcast.
I actually think that stains on your barbecue apron would be a cool picture. That means you actually used it.
Yes, well, I haven't had a chance to take more pictures yet, so.
Don't wash it. Just keep wiping your hands on it.
Halloween Foxy calls me Apron Boy.
Do you only wear your apron? No.
Tell her yeah.
He only wears his apron with the stains on
it. I only wear it when I'm barbecuing. Let's put it that way.
All right. Well, that's it for this week, folks.
Until next time.
Get in game.
And level up.
And level up. Level up. Level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2009.
For sure, 92. We're going to wing it.
Sweet! Did you know I was going to ask what a Wednesday was?
Shut up. Bro, they make fun of my southern...
His accent.
Days of the Lake.
It's funny, because my father was born in Redwood City, California, and he said Wednesday the exact same way.
I say Wednesday and Sunday.
Well, I'm going to Kentucky this weekend, so I should have a field day of listening to people talk.
I must say, since I started the podcast, I notice it now, and I correct. You know how quickly I corrected it?
That's because you know how quickly I'm going to say something.
And my daughter gets on it too.
Oh, now see, it's pretty bad when your little one.
Daddy, it's not Sunday; it's Sunday.
Am I allowed to eat grapes on the show?
Only if you share.
Hey, you want some grapes? I have a whole bowl here.
Are they
green
or
red? They're red, seedless.
Cool.
And they're very tart and sweet, and they're good.
Oh yeah, leave that one in.
Edit here.
He's fixing to come over that microphone.
Stop it.
Come on, laugh.
Quit.
Somebody tickle her.
You've heard me laugh often
tickle
enough.
Laugh. Come on. Laugh for me.